Around the clock, around the world, Bloomberg keeps you connected on television, online, on the radio, and on mobile.
C'è una mezz'umana, mamma mia d'ame. Figlia mia, cosa dare, mamma mia, pensacci a tu.
Maybe our next guest actually knows what that song is all about, because I sure don't. And not that it matters. What I know is a $20 million price tag. It's a lot for a restaurant. But in fact, there was one in New York where somebody paid that much just to get it going. We'll find out about it here on Taking Stock on Bloomberg. I'm Dave Wilson, along with Pim Fox, and with us, Ryan Sutton, a regular visitor here to this program, our food and restaurant critic here at Bloomberg. So, Ryan, what's with that song?
The song, well, listen, I don't speak Italian. I heard the song first when I watched the Francis Ford Coppola's The Godfather. They play it during a seventh-inning stretch at Mets games at Citi Field. I think the song is in English. It's about a little girl called Lazy Mary who spends too much time in bed. And I don't know if I'd necessarily attribute it to this restaurant, Lincoln, but there's a little bit of laziness going on in the cooking. And so maybe the song isn't entirely inappropriate. Run by Jonathan Benno. Like I said, $20 million restaurant. At least that's what people report, which makes it a whole lot of money to build, and you're going to spend a whole lot of money when you eat there.
Ryan, what do you spend $20 million on? I mean, what's the decor? Would you walk in and think, wow, they spent $20 million, or do you walk in and think, they didn't spend $20 million, but somebody told me they did?
It's a pretty nice place. I mean, listen, you know, restaurants aren't, you know, publicly listed companies, so they don't disclose official figures. They don't give you the breakdowns of every single cost. But you walk into the restaurant, it's a gorgeous piece of architecture. And, you know, if you can take away anything from this little conversation we're having here, you know, restaurants aren't only about food, just as theater isn't always about the performance. Part of going to theater is, you know, seeing the pretty people. I remember when I first went to the Bolshoi, I was 16 years old in Moscow. And yeah, the performance of Verdi's Il Trovatore wasn't the greatest, but you know what? I was surrounded by beautiful people in a beautiful theater drinking good champagne and ice cold vodka. And that's why I had a great time. And the reason I had a good time at Lincoln Restaurant, which overlooks the Metropolitan Opera, is because you're surrounded by, you know, pretty people who are behave well, who dress well, who drink $22 glasses of Blanc de Blanc champagne, which makes a great champagne cocktail, drinking 125 different Negronis, which we can talk about in a little bit. And it's a beautiful place filled with glass that brings to life the Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts, because there's so much transparency in the glass. You can sit down at a table and you can see the Metropolitan Opera House, the reflecting pool, Avery Fisher Hall, where, you know, the Philharmonic plays. And so it's a beautiful space that lets in this great public space of New York, and it lets you inhale this space while you inhale food, some of which is great and some of which is not.
Well, I want to know, if you're going to raise the fork to your mouth, what actually are you tasting? What are you getting?
Well, you're tasting the food of Jonathan Benno, and this is one of New York City's great chefs. You know, Jonathan Benno worked at Kraft, and Jonathan Benno is most famous for working at the three Michelin-starred Per Se. Thomas Keller is the head chef there. He was the chef de cuisine. He was the kind of guy, you know, working there on a day-to-day basis. When people think of, you know, questions of best in New York City, it's very subjective. What's the best French or American restaurant? I think Per Se was and is probably New York's best restaurant. So we have some laurels here. And you go into Lincoln and you spend $38 on a single raviolo. Now, is one raviolo worth it for $38? Again, a subjective question. But if you can't get a better raviolo,
what's in the raviolo?
A tiny lobster tail is in the raviolo. This lobster tail is so small, by the way, I'm not even sure it meets, like, fish and wildlife regulations. It was just, you know, it was about two fingers, you know, my index finger, my middle finger. And people who know me, you know, I'm not the tallest guy in the world. And so, but it was a really good raviolo. It was, you know, kind of a loose one. It was just a little bit of draped noodles over the tiny lobster tail, a little bit of bisque, and it was delicious. And so it was unparalleled. That's why I'm willing to pay $38 for it. I'm not willing to pay $40 for two small slices of steak that don't have a whole lot of flavor. And so that's the dichotomy of Lincoln. It's still a work in progress. And even though we have one of New York's great chefs, Jonathan Benno, who used to work for Per Se, things are still getting better here. And they are getting better.
You know, I'm still dealing with the concept of a raviolo.
I'm so used to ravioli. So one piece of ravioli.
One piece of ravioli.
For
that's
$38.
For $38. But, you know, ask yourself if there's only if it's the greatest ravioli in New York, which it very well might be, you know, it's, again, the question of economic rent. You know, Shaquille O'Neal or LeBron James, the highest paid basketball players, because there's only one LeBron James. Well, you know what? There's only one Jonathan Benno Raviolo. And so that's why I'm willing to go for it. That's why
they won't make you another one if you're willing to pay another $38?
I certainly hope so. And just by this, you know, again, I don't mean to, you know, be touting things that are overly expensive. But listen, go to Del Posto. Don't like the food a whole lot there, but they have this great Vesper. It's a cocktail. It costs, I think, between $28 and $34 for just a cocktail. It contains really high-end vodka. I think it's Ultimate Vodka, a really high-end Lillet Blanc. And it's you can't get any other Vesper out there that's better. The Vesper, of course, is a drink inspired by Casino Royale and James Bond. So if you want a great Vesper, go to Del Posto. If you want some okay food, go to Lincoln.
Can you actually get a reservation at Lincoln?
You can pretty much walk into Lincoln any day of the night.
All right. We're going to continue the conversation with Ryan Sutton. Find out about a restaurant that specializes in fat. That's next.
Charlie Rose, 6 p.m., Bloomberg Radio. Tonight, a conversation with rapper, author, and businessman, Jay-Z. That's the news you need now more than ever. I'm Karen Moscow, back to Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Dave Wilson.
This is Taking Stock on Bloomberg. I'm Pim Fox, my co-host Dave Wilson. Our guest is Ryan Sutton, Bloomberg restaurant critic. And all right, so maybe people are driving home right now. Ryan Sutton, they're getting ready for their dinner. Maybe they want more than just one raviolo. They want some ravioli.
Ravioli.
All right.
Two is better than one.
Two is better than one. And it seems as though, at least according to your report about Osteria Morini, more than one raviolo is a good deal because you really like the braised beef ravioli. You say you can enjoy it by yourself and it's like drinking an entire magnum of Barolo wine.
I've never drunk an entire magnum of Barolo wine, but once when I was about 22 years old, I finished half a box of wine. Me and my friends are cheap. We had boxed wine. We finished half a box of
that
wine together.
That tells us way more about you, Ryan Sutton, than I thought was possible.
I'm scared just thinking about it, actually.
Right.
This was when I was younger. It was a couple weeks after September 11th. It was the first time we had really went out. We thought a whole bunch of girls were going to come back to our apartment, but they didn't. So it was just me and my buddy Dave. We drank half a
box of wine that may have done it.
Half a box of wine. We had a hangover for 48 hours. But luckily, I'm drinking better now, and I'm eating better now. And I can eat really well at Morini. You just got to be careful not to eat too much because when you eat too much fat, we live in a fat-obsessed culture right now. Fat is flavor, and chefs are starting to use more lard and olive oil and butter in their cuisine, and so is Michael White at Morini. When I finished my second course, I only had two small plates at this restaurant, Osteria Morini in Soho, run by Chef Michael White. I felt dizzy. I felt kind of boozy, even though I didn't have a whole lot to drink. And that's because, A, the food is really rich here, and B, the food is really rich because he's celebrating the cuisine of Emilia-Romagna, which is sort of this northern Italian province or what have you, where as opposed to the southern Italian provinces where the lipid of choice is olive oil, here the lipids of choice come from animals rather than olives. That means pork fat. That means other types of fat. That means creams. That means butters. And that's why everything is so rich here. You have, you know, mortadella corn dogs. You have fried polenta with pork fat. You have whole slices of white prosciutto. You have vegetable soups. But the thing is, both of those vegetable soups are not vegetarian. You have whole jars of olive oil on the table. You have bechamel croquettes, which are like fried mayo. And you have affogato, a signature Italian dessert. Usually it's pretty short. It usually involves gelato with espresso. Here it's about the size of like a Dairy Queen shake. The thing is huge. It must be 1,000 calories. It's really good. You can't go wrong with espresso and gelato. But when there's a whole lot of it, sometimes you want to ask yourself the question, how much is too much? So even though you're getting a good deal at Morini, you wonder if they could either give you less or does it really need to be this rich? Especially because you're in Soho, which is that, you know, that Manhattan neighborhood where people don't have any fat. So this is a lot for skinny, you know, cocaine sniffing models to take.
Well, maybe that's true, but I mean, Italian food, sort of by definition, you don't think of it as being something that, you know, those skinny models are really going to want to eat because, let's face it, it's filling, it's whole. You know, so, I mean, how does this place kind of stack up against your typical Italian restaurant?
It's interesting because they really do have a niche. This is probably one of the, listen, if you want the food of Emilia Romagna, you should probably come here. There aren't any other restaurants like this in Manhattan, regardless of the, you know, the criticisms of how rich should it be. I've never been to Emilia Romagna, so I can't, you know, I can't criticize whether the food is fattier there than it is here. And you also do bring up a good question. You know, food should be hearty, food should be hearty, food should be filling. And, you know, a lot of us in the fine dining world wonder how filled up you should be. Charlie Trotter, a famous restaurateur in Chicago, I think he once said, when you leave his restaurant, it's like a 16-course tasting menu restaurant, really fancy, schmancy, expensive stuff. He said, you should not feel full, you should feel satisfied, and you should be looking forward to breakfast next morning. Now, to me, if I spend $200 on food, I want to be full. I don't want to be thinking about breakfast the next morning.
I agree with you on that score.
Exactly. And this is kind of like the opposite of that. This is the you know, the chef is going to come by and, you know, and throw a few extra plates of food on your table. And this is the type of restaurant where you don't, you know, create a tasting menu. It's more of the old school hearty one plate can fill you up. And so technically you are getting a good deal. So maybe it's just the modern gastronome that Ryan Sutton is conflicting with the old school gastronome that my parents used to be. You know, they put a plate of food in front of you and that should fill you up. You know, if you get dessert, you're lucky.
And just looking at you know, the kind of things that they're serving, it strikes me. I know we've talked before about fried chicken joints, the whole idea of comfort food. This strikes me as Italian comfort food.
It certainly is comfort food. You know, there's certainly something comforting about a whole big old plate of pork ravioli covered in duck liver cream, or a big old bolognese, you know, tagliatelle noodles with I think the bolognese here is made with chicken livers. Bolognese is one of those things that, you know, I assume can create national debates in Italy, just like, you know, in America we have debates on, you know, what makes the perfect hamburger. Do you use chuck, short rib, or hanger steak? In Italy, I understand that every single grandmother has her own recipe for the bolognese, and everyone thinks that her recipe is the best. This one, I think one of their signature ingredients is chicken liver, so that adds some interesting effects to it. A really good dish they have there, again, this one's really hearty, really cholesterol-filled, is you ever have like a soft-boiled egg, and you know you mash it up with some toast, you know, kind of toast shoulders, and the best part about the toast is that it sucks up the yolk of the egg. They have kind of a riff on that here, except there's no soft-boiled egg. There's the gelatin of calves' feet. So what you have to do, you have a bunch of croutons soaking up the gelatins of calves' feet, and coxcombs, yeah, the actual, you know, the thing on the rooster, the thing that, the coxcomb, you've seen coxcombs before.
Oh,
you can
yeah.
actually eat
we
them.
We see that in the supermarket every day, right?
Yeah,
so,
down in Chinatown,
sure.
Probably. But again, this is really good food. My only criticism, it can be a little bit rich sometimes, you know, and
you
again,
think,
you know, the cuisine of Emilia Romagna. This guy, Michael White, is known for, say, taking rich stuff, you know, bone marrow, and balancing it out with tomato sauce. Here, he doesn't have that same sense of balance, so he needs to work on that. And he has another restaurant, A Fiori, opening up really soon, so I'm curious about that.
I'm stealing this line from you. It sounds like food for hibernating bears. All right, I want to thank you very much. Ryan Sutton, Bloomberg restaurant critic, Dave Wilson. This is Taking Stock on Bloomberg.
There is an extra hour of Taking Stock, weekdays from 5 p.m. until 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Watch us live around the world on Bloomberg Television and listen to us at Bloomberg Radio on XM and Sirius Satellite Radio across North America.
Copyright Bloomberg LP 2010.